Now, I might be biased, but I thought that was some pretty good worship, y'all. Give him a hand. Give him one more hand. Today, we'll be in Ephesians chapter 3. We'll look at verses 14 through 21 of Ephesians chapter 3. Continue our series looking at spiritual warfare in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He might grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Time Life Incorporated was famous for their news articles of important people and places, and the pictures to go with them. But would it surprise you to know that they made mistakes from time to time? On one such occasion, they printed a recipe for a Chinese almond cookie. And the editors didn't catch it. The person who submitted the recipe didn't catch it. But when it got time to go to the printing press, some mistakes were put into that recipe. It didn't take very long for their offices to be flooded with angry letters when a less than delicious cookie was the result of following those recipes. In the same way, in the Christian life, we have recipes to follow as well. And in this section, Paul gives us a recipe for faith. The first ingredient is that we need to pray for inner strength. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory... You see, inner strength is best defined as stable traits, an enduring source of well-being, wise and effective action. In other words, your inner strength is your ability to do the right thing the right way, regardless of what anyone else in the world or in your life is doing. I have a new sound machine in my office, so if you come to meet with me, you're going to hear a little noise in the background. And I tested it out with Josh and Suzanne in my office, and I had them have a conversation, and I tried to listen in on it. And this noise machine just kind of plays in my office to try to make it harder for people to eavesdrop whenever someone wants to meet with me. And it's amazing to me how effective it is. Because it's not that loud, and it's just kind of a weird noise in the background. But it stops you from being able to figure out exactly what's being said. And you see, as we seek God for inner strength, the same thing can happen to us. Little things can take our focus off of what is the most important. We can be distracted as we seek His strength by the small secondary noises of life. But seeking inner strength is important. Paul says, for this reason, I humble myself and pray. He uses the same language he used last week in verse 1 of chapter 3. He said, for this reason, I humble myself and pray. Paul says, for this reason, when I consider the majesty and the wonder of God's worldwide eternal plan of redemption, I can't help but fall on my knees. I can't help but start to pray and worship God. That's my initial response. He says, I pray to God, who's the head of every family, knows every name that is named, the one who rules over all things and all people. He names every name that has been named. He defines the identity of and affirms His sovereignty over us by how well He knows our names. And in the ancient world, to name something was to exercise authority over it. So naming was important. Anna and I have talked about this. Naming children is a mystically important thing. And Anna found a Facebook group that was devoted to names. Some of them not so good. But she found this name of this story once, and it was Val and Sal. Okay? And she started saying how they were named because they were supposed to be the valedictorian and salutatorian of their class. And I just got aggravated by it, and I started to get preachers. And I said, that's just so terrible. How could they put that on some kids? What are they going to do when they finish fifth and sixth? What are they going to do when they can't measure up? They're going to spend their whole lives feeling like they're not that good. And just when I was starting to get going good, Anna told me, no, Josh, you're wrong. They made it. They are the valedictorian and salutatorian. That's why it's a story here. I said, oh, my fault. My mistake. But here, naming their children had power and influence and was prophetic. And names are important. And that's what God does here. It's a reference to Him naming us and knowing us. He knows our identities. He knows our personalities. He knows everything that is named. It's a reference to His amazing power and strength. And that's why the very next thing, verse 16, that according to the riches of His glory, He may be strengthened with power through the Spirit in your inner being. He prays for powerful strength from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit applies to the believer the personal presence and power of God. God's power applied to us grants us the ability to persevere, to maintain humble attitudes, and to endure hardship. Tura Pitt, about a decade ago, was running an ultra marathon in Australia. 60-mile, three-day run. In the middle of this run, a wildfire broke out. And she had to make a decision, her and her fellow competitors, whether they ran straight into the fire, up the hill, or turned around and went back. Because of her decision, 65% of her body was burned. And they didn't think she was going to make it. She was in a coma for a month straight as a result of her injuries and had to receive over 200 operations. But she survived. And now she's a symbol of hope and perseverance to the people of Australia. Because even though she lost all the fingers of her right hand and two fingers on her left, had to be amputated, even though she spent the next 6 months in the hospital, she didn't just survive, but she thrived. She got married after that, even though she was horribly disfigured. She had two children after that, even though she was horribly burned. She defied the odds and even competed in the worldwide Ironman championships and runs marathons today. She's a beacon of hope and inner strength because she persevered. The mother of a brain-injured child once wrote this: "We would have called our daughter's handicap the greatest tragedy of our lives if it were not for the fact that through it we came to know the Lord better. Words cannot express our keen disappointment when our little girl failed to experience normal mental development. Yet her condition made us understand just a little bit how our Savior must feel when His children do not mature spiritually. The Lord knows those heartaches, if properly accepted, enrich our lives in a way that could not happen otherwise. Strengthening us in the inner man, we come through our trials bigger and better Christians with a brighter and newer testimony." Two men went to Niagara Falls. They hadn't seen pictures of it or video of it. This was pre-internet. They'd heard stories about how good it was. And when they got there, they sat and just stared, mesmerized at the power and strength of those falls falling. And one man said to the other, he said, "This has got to be the greatest untapped strength in the world." And the man thought for a second and said, "I think it's the Holy Spirit." You see, we have a strength that we can apply to our lives through the Holy Spirit that is one of the greatest untapped resources in all existence. Through it, we get access to all sorts of spiritual power to encourage others, to sustain us, and help us persevere. But prayer is not just about inner strength, but it's also about us being rooted and grounded in Christ. Rooted and grounded. Pray that you are rooted and grounded in faith. A firm theoretical or practical basis for living. It's two words that mean nearly the same thing, to be rooted and grounded. One is a term that's agricultural, and one is a term that's architectural, right? So one is talking about the foundation of a building, and one is talking about the roots of a tree. He uses those two terms to emphasize that the foundation of our faith has got to be based on the right thing. Listen, we as Christians come up with denominations. We come up with doctrines and theologies. But as long as we have the foundation of the faith the same, then we're all Christians. Look at verse 17 through 19. So Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He says that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, rooted and grounded in love. This concept of being rooted and grounded means the foundation of your Christian faith is grounded on love. The Greek word here carries the sense of residing permanently. And heart in the ancient and Jewish thought represented the essential aspects of our existence and identity, our inner being, our will, and our intelligence. And my question for you this morning is this: what is the center of your will today? What is the center of your intelligence and inner being? Is it the combination of your Google search history, your YouTube, and your text messages? You got my permission right now. If you want to, you can take out your phone and look at your social media posts. Are they a clear reflection of who you are in Christ? Is there anything you might want to change? Is your online footprint a negative representation of who you are or a positive one? Does it give you a chance to draw near to God, or does it drive you further away from Him? Look at your phone and ask yourself this question. I'm giving you permission. Does your search history show you follow Christ? And are there aspects you'd like to change? He prays that they would have strength to understand the width and depth and height of the love of Christ. This reminds me of one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's Romans 8, 38 to 39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The love of Christ, he says, I pray that you understand how deep and wide the love of God is. Because it's beyond all knowledge. In other words, without this prayer that you have divine insight into it, you're not going to be able to understand it. You have no hope to understand it. Especially if you want to be filled with all the fullness of God, as Paul prays. He's saying and praying that if you understood and experienced the love of God, the height and depth and width of His kindness, you would be forever changed. I had the good fortune in my military service to be stationed in Florida, Fort Walton Beach area. And I will never forget the first time I went to Destin Beach. Okay? Because it was like something otherworldly for me. I got to the beach, and it had the most dazzling white sand beaches that I've ever seen. And I was the only one there, because it was January. And the water was crystal clear. And it was cool, but not too cold. And I couldn't help myself. I went swimming as soon as I could, because I just had to experience a little bit of what that was like to be there and to be changed by it. Because it wasn't the Pirates of the Caribbean. It wasn't something I saw on TV. It wasn't something that I'd heard a story of. It was something I got to experience. So now I know what it's like to go to one of the nicest beaches ever. And it's always going to be with me. That's the same way that God's love and acceptance and support is. When you truly understand that He's with you, it stays with you. And it's like fingerprints on a piece of fruit. It leaves an impression on your lives. I knew this guy once. He had a very low opinion of himself. You know, he was a drug addict, and he had a bad view on a lot of things. But when he became a Christian, his life started to change a little bit at a time. And then through Bible study, I began to see that he started to accept God's acceptance more. He started to accept God's love more. And his view of himself changed. And when his view of who he was changed, his view of how he treated other people changed. To where if he heard someone back-talking someone else, or he heard someone cursing out someone else, he would go and he would stop them from doing that and said, you don't need to talk to each other like that. You're accepted by God. When you truly understand what it means to be accepted by God, it makes an incredible impact on your life. What would your life look like today if it was based on a deeper understanding of God's acceptance and love. For me, I would be a lot less worried. I'd be confident but not arrogant. I'd be excited about the future but not overwhelmed by the past. And I'd be fully present. Because the better we understand God, the more we are able to accept our own limitations and the better we are at treating each other. Prayer is not just about being rooted and grounded in love, but it's also about being blessed or blessing others. Praying blessings over others as we worship is a big part of the active Christian prayer life. As Paul ends this section of prayer, he shifts his focus to a combination of worship and blessing. And these are all prayers that we can pray, but this blessing section especially is a practical step for us as believers. See, praying blessings is like taking a cup and dipping it in a creek to get some water. You're going to get wet too. And if you give somebody else some water, you can't help but be blessed by God in it. And the more you're giving water to other people, the wetter you get from the water too. And so the more you seek to bless others, the more you seek to help others, the more you seek to love others, it seems like the more you begin to be blessed by God Himself, because you begin to see things from a different perspective and have a different understanding of them. Look at verses 20 and 21 of chapter 3. Now to Him who is able to do abundantly more than we can ask or imagine, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now to Him who is able. Y'all, this is a famous saying. Christians, this is a famous saying. Now to Him who is able. When I hear those words, now to Him who is able, my mind is automatically transported to church. It's almost like when you hear these words, when you hear those famous tone and content and force of words, when you hear, we hold these truths to be self-evident, your mind goes to a place. When you hear, 67 years ago, your mind goes to a place and a time in history. And when you hear the words, this is a day that will live in infamy, your mind goes to a place in history. In the same way, this saying is famous. Pastors use it at the end of church as a benediction and a service to bless people. You can hear the words and know what's coming next. Now to Him who is able to do more than we can ask or imagine. Who is this one? He can do abundantly more than we can ask or imagine. According to the Holy Spirit, the power that is worked within us. I'm going to brag on my wife for a second, y'all, so bear with me. But I got married late enough in life to where I remember what it was like to be single, you know? And I could tell you that my life is a little bit better, or I could tell you that my life is barely better. But for those who know me, my life is far more abundantly more than I could have asked or imagined better than it would be before I married my wife. Amen. My wife has given me a son. My wife has organized my house. I'm a disorganized person. She hangs paintings and pictures on the wall to make it pretty. When I was a bachelor, I didn't have anything on the walls of my house. You know? And now I realize that was sad. But then I didn't. You see, our lives are made better, abundantly better, more than we can ever think. She's given my work purpose and made me a father. And I've grown so much as a person because of her influence in my life. And that's how the Holy Spirit is supposed to be for us. We're supposed to listen to Him. He's supposed to invade our lives and infect us like we have COVID. And then we're going to cough on each other. Instead of coughing on each other, we're going to bless each other. That's what He's saying. It should be so infectious in your life that it moves from person to person and life experience to life experience. And God wants to be your guide in that and directing your life. Let's read these final verses one more time, y'all. What does He say? Now to Him who is able to do abundantly more than we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That final verse, y'all, glory to God in the church. He's the one that made it. Glory to God in Christ. He's the one who suffered and sustained it. Glory to God in God. Glory to God in Christ. Glory to God Himself throughout all generations. That speaks to us forever and ever and ever. We're part of that. We're part of forever and ever. We're in there. This is for us. This is something we can pray. This is something we can pray. You say, Josh, I don't know what to pray when somebody asks me to pray. Pray this. Pray, God, I know you can do abundantly more than I can ask or imagine. To you be the glory. Because as we take our eyes off our problem, God does something significant to our perspective. And he shifts it and gives it a holy context. Marco Polo brought all kinds of things back from his journeys. But do you know one of the most famous things he brought back to Europe was a recipe? You see, for years in Rome, the wealthy class would take pieces of ice and chop it up finely and put fruit syrup on it. They had ices back then, y'all. Isn't that amazing? But that's all they had. Marco Polo brought back something a little bit different. You see, his new recipe called for not just using ice and salt, but cream as well. He brought ice cream to the royal families, and they loved it. And they tried to keep it secret. They didn't want the peasants to get access to ice cream. They kept it secret. They kept it safe amongst themselves. But over time, that secret, it leaked out a little bit. I mean, you get something that good, it's hard to keep a lid on it. And that recipe for ice cream began to seep out. To where today you can make ice cream with cherry wine in it, right? There he is. I was looking for Rex. He knows what I'm talking about. Today, we can even have a cup or cone because that recipe was passed down from generation to generation to generation. And the same thing is said for this recipe to prayer that we have in Ephesians chapter 3, that we pray for inner strength, that we pray to be rooted and grounded in love, and that we pray blessings over each other. Inner strength. What happens in your life if you found the inner strength that Paul prays for? Rather than merely chasing after our own desires or physical needs, we have to attend to our interior spiritual lives. And our inner being requires as much care and exercise as our outer being does. And we need a head and heart and hands to apply that message of Ephesians. In other words, it's not something we just feel. It's not something we just study and think on. But it's something that our hands have to get dirty with. We need to go apply that strength as we help others. And we must think through what we believe as Christians and how it has an impact on us. For Christianity is a religion that shapes our minds and forms our daily living choices. We're to be rooted and grounded. What happens when you understand the width and height and depth and love of Christ? Just as we dedicated this building today, there's language here that talks about dedicating ourselves to Christ. We have to make sure that foundation is placed on a solid footing. Establish your life on the firm foundation of God's love, and it has an impact on you. You're more self-assured, and you're less arrogant, you're more selfless and less self-focused. Accepting God's love means accepting our own limitations. And it gives us strength to treat each other better. Otherwise, we can't do it consistently. I don't care how much we love each other, we get sick of each other. If there's one thing COVID and staying home all the time taught us, it was that we love each other and we need a break. Amen. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out anger and resentment. And acceptance of God's acceptance fills our heart with contentment. And I believe that's what Paul was saying there. When he says that we are to be filled and fulfilled by God, it's that the more we understand that we are accepted and loved, the more we're able to operate out of that acceptance and love. We're fulfilled in it and by it and through it as we help others. Blessings. This is a simple and a direct application. Pray blessings over each other. That's it. Focus on blessing others in your prayers, and it will take you out of your own selfish problems. It will take you out of your same prayers. Is anybody tired of praying the same prayers? Is anybody bored with their own prayer life? Then I want you to pray blessings over Anna. I want you to pray blessings over Judah. I want you to pray blessings over me. I want you to pray blessings over each other. Pray blessings over each other and see how God will shift your perspective about your own problems, about your own life, about your own worries and concerns. They'll start to lift away. Because so many times we're so focused on seeing God answer a prayer that we don't see all the other ways that He's working. And God says, I'm answering all these other prayers, but you're worried about this one. That's being ungrateful. When I think about what it looks like to pray blessings over others, I think about my friend David. He died in New Orleans when the hurricane hit and got over 90 degrees in his building and he couldn't get out. And I remember the first time I met him. A friend of mine, we walked by him and we sat down and he just began to talk to us and share about his life. And he had been so sick that he was bedridden for over 10 years. And he said, Josh, as I sat in the bed those first few years, I really felt sorry for myself. But over time, I realized this is just leading to depression. I got to change it up. And what my friend David did is he started making these lists. And these were his prayer lists. And so anytime he found of a prayer need, he wrote it down on this notebook paper. And so for 10 years, as he lay in the bed trying to recover from his illnesses, he prayed for people, some of which never even knew how much he prayed for them. And he started with this list of about 5 or 10 names. And then he got to 100, and then he got to 200, and 300, and 400, 500, 700, 800. He got to well over 2,000 people that he prayed for. Now, he didn't pray over all those names every day, but he prayed as God led him that day, and he started the next day at the top of the next section of the list. And for those of us that knew David, we would get phone calls or Facebook messages or text messages saying, hey, I'm praying for you today. And I'm asking God to bless you in a special way. And this man, at the end of his life, has left this legacy of praying blessings over other people. And I just want to tell you, as we dedicate this building today, this is not just for us. Right? In a lot of ways, this building that is dedicated today is for the future generations. Because how many years did it sit unrenovated for? A lot. A lot. So this dedication of this building is for this next generation of people that will sit in it. We'll be blessed by it a little bit, but really it's for those who come after. And so we need to ask ourselves, what kind of legacy of faith are we leaving? Are we seeking God for inner strength just to hoard it and keep it to ourselves? Are we seeking God to be rooted and grounded in love that we might be transformed and renewed and forever changed? Because if God loved us so much that He stretched His hands out and allowed Himself to be crucified, then that ought to make a difference in the way we treat each other. How to make a difference in what we read and write and think about one another. And that's where the blessings come in. Let's live a life where the preacher doesn't have to ignore so much of what you've lived. I don't lie when I do people's funerals, y'all. But I don't go out of my way to overly tell the truth if I don't have to. You see what I'm saying? Don't make it harder for us. Don't make it harder for us. David's death is so incredible because so many people are sharing how he blessed them. I can't tell you the number of people I've seen write that on days when he prayed for them, God blessed them. In special, this is hundreds and thousands of people. And this is one Christian who was sick for years and years and years and bedridden. So anybody can do this. And I encourage you this week to start your own legacy of faith. Get out that prayer list and start writing everybody that you know at church's name on it. Start writing all your friends and your family and your coworkers. Start praying blessings over other people. And watch as God changes your perspective. Let's pray. God, we thank you for who you are. We are your people and we come to you this morning ready to see you move in our own lives. Please, Lord God, help us to have our pride and our envy and our self-interest laid at the foot of the cross this morning. God, help us to pray blessings and peace and worship and hope over each other. Because we want people to be surrounded by songs of deliverance. We want people to be surrounded by songs of worship. We want people to be delighted in you and transformed by that delight, Lord. So many days we find ourselves looking at our own problems, our own situations, and saying, God, no one knows the pressure I'm under. But let's not stay isolated, but let us be integrated as we pray for each other and as we seek to bless one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
As we close, if you'd all stand and sing hymn number 387, Blessed Be the Tie.
Let's go ahead and apply this message right quick, y'all. Now, to him who is able to present you faultless before the throne of grace, may he bless your day, may he bless your meal, may he bless your week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now dismissed.